Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from our gospel lesson, the last words. So the last will be first and the first last. These words of this parable are framed by the similar thought that we find in the last verse. So the last will be first and the first last. If you check your Bibles, Matthew 19, verse 30, the verse just prior to this whole section reads, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And so with those two thoughts on either end of our gospel lesson today, we see this focused on the first last in Jesus' words. And they help us kind of put this whole parable into a better meaning for us. And so what is the focus here? And it seems to be not the laborers, but the very words of the owner of the vineyard. And so Jesus begins this parable with the very significant phrase, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." And those words should be a signal for us that what follows is not according to normal sense. It's not according to what we would call common sense. It's about the kingdom of God. Right away, we see that the action of the vineyard owner are a bit unusual. First off, we note that kind of down into the parable, we find that he has a foreman. But he doesn't send the foreman into town to the marketplace. He goes himself. He goes himself to seek the workers for the vineyard. He doesn't delegate it out, but he goes in humility, taking on this task. And of course, he offers the first group denarius a day. Now, it's hard to determine exactly how much this would be in today's money, but it seems that this is a very generous offer. And so, as Jesus continues the parable, building to the climax, he returns several times during the day, seeking others who are idle and telling them to go work in the vineyard as well. And finally, Jesus tells us that the owner went to the marketplace at the 11th hour. The 11th hour, that was an hour before quitting time. And he found, again, idle men, and he sends them into the vineyard to work. Now it seems, if we use our earthly common sense, that the owner seems to be more concerned about the unemployment rate than about his vineyard. Why would he hire someone to go at the last hour? It doesn't make sense. But again, this is a parable of the kingdom. So we kind of have to put that behind us. The kingdom of heaven goes to the beat of a different drummer. And so the next verse really, we begin to find out what's going on in the mind of the owner. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." Now, a curious thing about the wording here. Owner, if we look back into the Greek, is the word kurios, which means Lord. He's Lord of the vineyard, but I think because this is a parable of the kingdom, it begins to reveal what's going on here. We begin to find out who the owner is. And so, at the end of the day, the owner, the Lord, directs the foreman to gather the laborers and to give them their wages. And note that he states that those hired last would be paid first. And again, remember the bookend verses, the last shall be first. So Jesus here is giving us this detail. And so the workers are paid. And so the workers who worked only 1 hour were paid a denarius, as the rest were paid one denarius. They were paid not according to the hours they worked, but everyone received the same, regardless of the hours. Now, this is confusing, but remember, it's a parable of the kingdom. And of course, the workers who worked all day saw what was happening. They saw that those other guys received a denarius. And so their thought was, well, if they received a denarius for 1 hour, boy, and they begin to count up how much they would get. Were they in for a surprise? They got the same amount. And so they grumbled, equal pay for unequal work. That's not fair. That's not right. And here the words of Isaiah come to mind. Writes in 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts," and this is the Lord speaking, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Ah, so this is a parable about God's ways. And truly, God's ways are not our ways. This is a picture of how God deals with his redeemed people. Remember, we have those verses, the thought, the last will be first and the first last. So it's not a lesson in labor relations or economy or wages of anything like that, but it describes the graciousness of God. And we pick that up again in our epistle lesson, where St. Paul points to the Old Testament lesson and how God graciously dealt with those people in the Old Testament. And there, the God of Israel provided water for the children of Israel in the desert. And this is the same God who provided the same people with manna in the desert. So what motivated God to do this? What motivated God to choose Israel? What motivated God to save that people? Was it their number? Was it their strength of character? No. It was solely by grace. His mercy and his love, he picked out those people and he gave them that gift of salvation. That gift of salvation in the Old Testament was pictured by the rescue of out of Egypt, Israel through the water of the Red Sea. Pictures of salvation of a gracious God. And so in this parable of the vineyard, The Lord, the owner of the vineyard, shows grace to these workers. In the language of the kingdom, that means he gives them the gift of eternal life. And that means the entire gift. It isn't prorated. It isn't dependent upon how many hours they worked in the vineyard. They all get the same gift. And instead of looking at other people, we look at what God gives to us. It is a gift, and a gift that is totally undeserved. Isn't that what grace is about? Undeserved kindness? Jesus is showing us here that in the kingdom, there is a new relationship established between God and man, and this is based on the rock, who is Christ. Because of his labor in the vineyard, and remember, he labored in that scorching heat throughout his years on this earth, culminating in that death on the cross. Because of what he has done, the gift of eternal life is ours. A gift that we have neither earned nor deserved. St. Paul points to the graciousness of God that is realized for us in the water of baptism and in the spiritual food and drink of the Lord's Supper that we receive from Christ, who is our rock, the rock of our salvation. Now, there will always be people who grumble and complain about God's grace. As we see today, it happened in the wilderness. We know that Jonah, the prophet, grumbled because God saved Nineveh. The Jews grumbled because Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors and healed on the Sabbath. Do we at times question God's grace? I'm afraid we do. Like those workers with those jealous, evil eyes, we tend to look around at others and think, how can they be saved, considering what they have done? That's why we always need to hear the truth about ourselves in the light of God's word and confess our sins before him. Yes, we often struggle with God's grace. It is easy for us to consider that that is a reward, a result of our efforts, something that we've earned by our merit, our works, our self-righteousness. And again, that's why we always need to be in contact with God's word on a regular basis, so we keep our heads on straight. And that's why we hear that word. That's why we gather together here, receiving the sacrament for the forgiveness of our sins. That's why we remember our baptism. And in that baptism, as Luther wrote when he, in the small catechism, what does baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us, and that's the old Adam that's looking around and with envy at others. The old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. The world does not know, the world cannot understand the grace of God. The world follows after other religions, where the relationship with the deity is based on merit. The God of grace is not found in the temples, the mosques, the synagogues, or at the foot of the golden calves or the magnificent towers of Babel erected by modern man. There will always be people who are offended by this grace. People are offended by the cross. People are offended by the followers of Christ, those who confess him. And from time to time, this rejection may turn ugly. We may first face persecution confessing that faith in Christ. But through it all, whatever may come our way, the Lord is persistent, like the owner in the parable, with his grace and mercy. And it's like the father in the story of the prodigal, the father who is generous with his grace and clothes us with righteousness and blesses us with his gifts every day. And so this is the nature of the kingdom. It's hidden. It's hidden in the cross of Christ. It is hidden in weakness and grounded in Jesus Christ and him crucified. In this kingdom, the last will be first and the first will be last. In the name of Jesus, who is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, amen.